Without you, there is no hope. Without you, there is no life. And we thank you that you've given us life and life more abundantly in the person of Jesus Christ. Father, as we celebrate Christmas, as we celebrate this most wonderful and joyous time of the year, a time for hope, a time that engenders and instills hope, Lord, help us to never forget that the baby was born for the cross. And thank God that you did not stay on the cross or in the grave, but you live, and because you live, we may live as well. The good news of Christmas, Father, is that we can have this glorious expectation and affirmation, assurance, this hope, because you live, we live as well. Father, I pray you forgive me of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here this morning. We continue to ask that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. 'Tis the season for hope. Hope. It's one of those intangibles that we talk about, that we think we know all about, but if you have to explain it, it sort of gives you pause. It's sort of like love or like joy. We maybe understand what it is, maybe, but it's hard to explain what it is, right? As a matter of fact, really, you don't have hope, as I said this morning earlier, you don't have hope, not really, unless you have Jesus Christ. If you have missed Jesus Christ, then you really, truly do not understand what Christmas is all about. You know, people will say, well, Jesus is the reason for the season. And I understand what they're saying when they say that. And I wouldn't necessarily disagree, but really, when you get down to it, Jesus is not the reason for the season. Not really. You and I, we're the reason for the season. He came for you, and He came for me. There would have been no reason for Jesus to have been born, to suffer and die, if it had not been for us. Now, why did He do that? Because of His love for us. And to give us hope. We're going to talk about that as we go on here. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says this, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us." Now, hope is one of those English words that you've got to sometimes define what you mean, because we may use hope in more than one sense. And we're going to talk about that at length in a little bit. But what does the word hope, what's the Greek word here mean? Well, it's not some pie-in-the-sky dream. That's not what he's talking about. About, oh, well, I hope I make 100 on a calculus test that I hadn't studied for. Or, you know, I hope I'm going to win the lottery, or whatever the case might be. Or if you were a Georgia fan hoping that Georgia was going to win last night, you know, and they almost did, right? Almost, but not quite. So hope is not some pie-in-the-sky dream. Hope is not a fantasy. Hope is an expectation of an assured outcome, an anticipation. You guys remember the old ketchup commercial? That they talk about anticipation when they're trying to squeeze and the ketchup takes forever to come out. The point of that commercial is it is coming out. It's just really slow because it's worth the wait. Well, that's sort of the anticipation that's talking about here. Let's keep going. Colossians 1:27 says this, "To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." Well, what is it? "Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." The hope of glory. Scripture is full in both the Old Testament and the New Testament of the word hope. Well, what does it mean? Let's look at the definition. The Greek word elpis. What does it mean? It actually means to anticipate something with pleasure. To anticipate something with pleasure. And if you look up, if you Google the word hope, you're going to get all these definitions. And it's interesting to me that most of the definitions contained online use the term archaic definition to really define what hope means when Scripture talks about hope. They call it archaic. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's true. Hope means it is a trust and a reliance. That's what the ultimate meaning is, an anticipation, an eager anticipation and expectation of what is coming, because I have trust and reliance in the one who's bringing it to pass. I said this morning that if you look at the separation between the Old Testament and the New Testament in your Bible, you might only have one page, and I have exactly that. I have one page that says New Testament, and then the New Testament starts. But that one page includes probably 700 years of silence. Silence. After the prophets in the Old Testament, God was silent. Now, does that mean He was not there? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means the time was not yet right. God's timing. Now, we've talked about it before that sometimes most of the time, we want things on our timing, don't we? But God says wait, God says trust, and God says hope. And the word hope means I am eagerly anticipating what He is going to bring to pass. Let's look at some things this morning about hope. The first one, as Scripture talks about hope, is we need to understand that it is essential, an essential hope. We cannot exist without hope. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, it's going to say three things exist. What are they? Now exist faith, hope, and love. These three. And the greatest of these is love. But one of those is hope. You cannot exist without hope. Doctors will tell you you can't live but maybe 3 minutes without oxygen. 3 hours without sufficient heat. 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. Some of us think we can't live 3 weeks without food. But anyway, you know, they tell you that. Well, I don't know how long you can live without hope, but not very long. Not very long. And the truth of the matter is, if you are an unbeliever, that means if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you do not have hope. Let me rephrase that and repeat that. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if there's not been a time in your life that you said, Lord, I'm a sinner, I know I have messed up, will you forgive me of my sins, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Savior, forgive me, save me, and be my Lord and Savior. If you've not done that, then you are without hope. Because Scripture says we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And if you're dead, you don't have any hope. But if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then Scripture says you are alive in Him. Though you may physically die, you're still alive. We have hope, the assurance, the anticipation, the expectation of what He's going to do because He's already done it. We have that hope because Jesus is alive today. Amen? You can't separate Christmas from Easter. That's why usually, and I'm probably going to do it before the season's out, I'll have the manger and a cross too. Because the manger doesn't mean anything if you don't have the cross too. If you only know Jesus as a baby in a manger, you don't know Jesus. He didn't stay in the manger. He went to the cross, and thank God He didn't stay on the cross either. That song by Glad in the First Light ends with Him coming back again. And that's because that's the way Scripture ends, with Him coming back again. We've got that hope and that assurance as well. We live in a messed up world. You don't believe it? Turn on the news. We live in a messed up world. But the truth is, in Christ we have hope. Our hope is rooted in Christ, or else you have no hope. Think about it for a moment. If there is no hope, really, if there's no hope, is there really life? Maybe biological life, but there's not much life, is there? Our hope is rooted in our relationship in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's keep going. 1 Peter 3:15 says this in the New Living Translation. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. Are you ready to explain it? How do you have hope? In the midst of a messed up, dark, dead world, How do you have hope? How do you have light in the midst of a total darkness? How do you have hope? Because my hope is in Christ. And if you know Him, then your hope is in Christ as well. If you don't know Him, then please meet Him today. Because I want you to know Him. I want you to have this hope. And if you don't have Him, you don't have hope. We talked about last week, I believe it was, from 1 John. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And I'm gonna give you a Larry's addendum to that. You don't have hope either if you don't have Christ. So this is essential hope. Hope is, you can't separate a Christian life from hope because hope is essential to the Christian life. Secondly, it's not only essential, it is also central. It is central to the Christian life. There in Ephesians 4, 3 through 6 says, there is one body and one spirit, notice that's the capital S, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's a song, I don't remember who recorded it first, You're My All in All, talking about Jesus Christ. And we say, Lord Jesus, You're my all in all, but do we really mean that? I hope we do, but sometimes we may not live like we do. But this hope that comes from Christ, this hope that is in Christ, this hope that is of Christ, that's in us, is central to our life. How do you get up and operate every day if you don't have hope? Well, you can't have hope if you don't have Jesus. To be perfectly frank, I don't know how the world operates apart from Jesus Christ. I don't think I'd get out of bed if I didn't have Jesus Christ, because I wouldn't have hope. The world, well, just look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're looking at that this morning in life groups. It's not a pretty picture, and it's getting uglier. If you don't have Christ, you don't have any hope. None whatsoever. It is central to our faith. Let's keep going. Jesus is not just essential to life, but He is the center of life. He wants to be involved in everything you do. Jesus is not in a box that you set off on the side and pick up and bring to church on Sunday. He is to be the center of your life. Everything you do. Recreation, friends, fun stuff, work stuff, family stuff, all stuff. He is to be the center of your life. You choose your friends. You choose what you're doing. You choose what you say based on the fact that He is the center of your life. You guys remember the old commercial, Tootsie Pops? How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? Y'all remember the answer? Three, that's right. Three, because that's what the owl did. He licked three times and broke it off. Because you want to get to the center. Because the center's the good stuff, right? Well, the center of our life, the good stuff, got to be Jesus Christ. Got to be our relationship. Not religion now, but the person of Jesus Christ. Relationship with Jesus Christ. The very hope we have, the only hope we have, honestly, is centered on Him. It's on Him. The wise men. Now, you know, the song, We Three Kings, so ever since that song was written, whenever it was, we think there's three wise men. We don't know how many wise men there were. The Scripture says magi came from these. There could have been two. There could have been 27. There could have been 93. I don't know. We say three because there are three gifts. But these magi, now they were really not present at the manger. They came, Jesus was almost 2 years old probably when they showed up at the wherever they were living then, at the house. But these wise men followed a star. How'd they know? Who told them? to follow a star. Scripture doesn't tell us. We think it's highly possible because where'd they come from? Do you know? They came from the area of Persia. Guess who was carried captive hundreds of years before that to Persia? Daniel. So we expect and we think maybe perhaps that these wise men were from the school that Daniel started. Well, obviously God impressed on these wise men, however many there were, to go find this hope. Why did they bring gifts like that? Because the gift of gold, frankincense, and myrrh is a gift for a prophet, a priest, and a king. Because they knew, and they were willing to travel half the world around to find it, that the only hope is in Him. So let me ask you today, what is the central theme of your life? Who's in charge? Where are you going? And why are you doing what you're doing? If the answer is Jesus, then you're on the right path. If the answer is anything else, then you need to check up. Because we're talking about a central hope. And if it's not centered on Jesus, then you don't really have it. Thirdly, it's a living hope. Not just essential, not just central, but alive, real and vibrant. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a what? Living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope. Not some dead, dusty, in the ground hope, but a live, living, vibrant hope. That's why I'm serious when I say I appreciate Brother Michael's enthusiasm. Because we ought to be enthusiastic about our faith. It ought to move you to that. Let me ask you, seriously. If you were an Alabama fan and somebody gave you free tickets to the SEC championship, would you be ho-hum about it? Would you have been up in those stands, standing on your tiptoes, chewing your nails off, screaming and hollering? Or would you just sit there looking through the day's newspaper? You'd be excited about it, wouldn't you? And rightfully so. We need to be a whole lot more excited about our relationship with Jesus Christ than that. The best that can happen in 2018/2019, if you're a Bama fan, the best thing that can happen is Alabama wins the national championship, right? That's the best thing that can happen. That's great. Yeah, that's great. But how does that compare to eternal life? How does that compare to victory over sin, the death, and the grave? We need to have a perspective here, guys, right? How does that compare? We get all excited about our teams, and that's fine. I yell for Troy, too, and I was hollering for Alabama. That's okay. But we need to holler about Jesus sometimes, too. We seem to think, oh, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm going to offend some people because I'm going to holler about Jesus. And it's okay. Is He central? Is He essential? And is He alive in your life? Let's keep going. Because He lives, and only because He lives, we live also. You realize that, right? There is no hope without Him. There's no future without Him. There's no life without Him. But because of Him, because He lives, we live also. My dad loves that song, Because He Lives. He told me years ago that he wants that song sung at his funeral. And that's very, very appropriate. Because He lives, we live also. Our hope is a lively hope because Jesus is alive. He's not in the grave. You can go find Confucius and Muhammad and everybody else's grave. You can find their bones. But you can't find Jesus' grave because it was just temporarily borrowed. He's not there anymore. He's alive. Because He lives, we can live as well. Do you know Him? Do you have Him? Because if you don't, you do not have this hope. We look eagerly and expectantly to the resurrection because we want to be just like He is. And we have the promise. As a matter of fact, we have the seal of God on us. What are you talking about? Yeah, you got the seal of God on you. What is that? If you know Jesus Christ, you got it. It's the Spirit of God alive in you, the seal of God. Why is the Ark of the Covenant not around anymore? Because we don't need it anymore. Because the symbol of the presence of God with His people is His Spirit now alive in His people. Alive, not dead, alive. Our faith is not in religion. Now, I'm a Baptist because I believe more like the Baptist than anybody else I've found. But my faith is not in the Baptist doctrine. My faith is in the person of Jesus Christ. Because Baptist doctrine is not going to save me. Jesus Christ is going to save me. Do you hear me? Jesus Christ. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ is going to save me. Not anything else. Our faith is not in religion. The Pharisees' faith was in religion and in themselves. Our faith is in the real, living Lord. And our hope is in Him and from Him and of Him. Let me ask you, do you have this living hope? Here is your compass point. The message of Christmas, among other things, is a message of hope. And if you don't hear anything else today, hear this. Your only hope is in Jesus Christ. Do not leave this place until you make sure that your life is hid with Christ, that your hope is in the assurance of Jesus and what He's done for you. You can celebrate, if that's the case, if you do that today, then you're going to celebrate Christmas like you never have before because you're alive today. Father, thank You for Your love, for Your blessings, for the hope that You give us in the person of Jesus Christ, that we can have the assurance that because You live, Lord Jesus, I can live, we can live, and we can celebrate Christmas like none other because You have given us victory over sin and hell and the grave, over Satan himself. Father, thank You for what You have done, for what You're going to do. This is Your time. We are Your people. If there's anybody here today that does not know You as Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that they will right now ask You to forgive them of their sins, to be their Savior and be their Lord, to cleanse them, to bring them into Your family, Lord, to give them a living hope like never before. Father, this is Your time and we are Your people. The altar is open. In Jesus' name, amen.